the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, April the 2nd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein declares the Department of Justice will not be extorted. Also on our nationwide rundown, Nevada Supreme Court to weigh in on sanctuary cities, and Iowans reminded about new voter ID rules for the June primary. First, our top story, as reported by Reuters, Rod Rosenstein, the U.S. official overseeing the investigation of ties between President Donald Trump's election team and Russia, warned a group of conservative Republicans Tuesday that his department would not be extorted and criticized them for leaking a draft resolution calling for his impeachment. Reuters notes the House Freedom Caucus this week did leak a draft resolution that said Rosenstein should be impeached for not promptly responding to their request for documents on FBI investigations. Quoting Rosenstein, "I can tell you that there are a lot of people who have been making threats privately and publicly against me for quite some time. I think they should understand by now the Department of Justice is not going to be extorted." A proposed Nevada budget measure is seeking to ban so-called sanctuary cities, which take steps to protect undocumented immigrants. But Catherine Davis Young reports before the measure goes to voters, Nevada Supreme Court will have to weigh in.
The measure would stop state, county, and city officials from enacting any policies to prohibit or discourage cooperation with federal immigration enforcement. Amy Rose with the ACLU of Nevada argues that the definition of sanctuary city is vague, and the ballot measure would apply to more than just police and immigration officials.
The language of this is so broad and confusing that voters aren't going to know that this would impact hospitals and schools in areas that they may not necessarily consider.
A district court judge agreed with Rose and blocked the ballot measure earlier this year, calling it excessively broad and misleading. Supporters of the measure appealed. The state Supreme Court will hear arguments next week.
If the Nevada Supreme Court allows the measure to go forward, its backers have until June to collect the signatures needed to get it on this year's ballots. Supporters of Medicaid expansion in Maine, meantime, are asking the courts there to force Governor Paul LePage to implement the program approved by voters last year.
LePage vetoed legislative attempts to enact the expansion, which advocates say would help an estimated 70,000 Mainers access health care. So last year, voters took the measure on directly, approving the expansion by a wide margin. But the governor has yet to file a state plan with the U.S. Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which was due on April 3rd. And according to Robin Merrill, who heads Maine Equal Justice Partners, another deadline is looming.
The law is clear that people are eligible for coverage under Medicaid expansion as of July 2nd. So on July 2nd, people will have a right to health care, and they will have legal recourse if they're denied coverage.
LePage has insisted that the legislature needs to fund the expansion, about $45 million in the first year, without raising taxes or using the state's revenue reserve. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Merrill notes that without coverage, each of the five petitioners in the suit faced delays in getting critical medical care. A new bill that passed the House in Colorado would allow cities with higher costs of living to set their own minimum wages. But Eric Gladys reports it faces an uphill battle in the state Senate.
Even with this year's increase in Colorado's minimum wage, now at $10.20 an hour, workers in ski resort counties and cities like Boulder continue to struggle. On Thursday, a state Senate committee is scheduled to hear a bill that would allow municipalities to set their own minimum wages. Jack Strauss is the chair of applied economics at the University of Denver's Business School. Strauss notes Western states, including Arizona, California, New Mexico, and Washington, have allowed for a variety of wage floors because he says, in terms of pay, one size doesn't fit all.
Because the cost of living differs throughout a state, it makes sense to have a higher minimum wage in regions or cities that are more expensive.
In 1999, Colorado passed a law prohibiting local governments from setting their own minimum wage, and more than a dozen states now have similar preemptive laws. Opponents say allowing a patchwork of wage floors across the state would lead to job loss and warn that businesses would have to pass higher costs on to consumers.
HB 1380 passed the Democratic-controlled House last week along strict party lines. And finally, Ross Brown reports that Iowans age 50 and older are the largest single voting bloc, and with that state's primary election just 5 weeks away, they're being reminded about a change in voting rules that will be introduced this year and implemented fully in 2019.
The new law requires Iowa voters to bring a form of identification like a driver's license to the polls. Jeremy Berwin with AARP Iowa says events being held statewide this month will provide members and guests more information.
We don't want people going to the polling places not knowing that there's new laws and regulations in place as far as what you need to bring to actually go and have your vote cast.
For this year only, people who don't bring identification to the polls on June 5th can still vote, but need to sign an oath verifying their identity.
By the way, Iowa's absentee voting period has been shortened from 40 to 29 days. Republican lawmakers who passed the new voter ID legislation said it will crack down on potential voter fraud. I'm Mike Clifford, and you've been newsin' and cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.